This is Marketplace. I'm Amy Scott. Lately, we've been talking on the program about economic belief versus reality and why the gap between what voters believe about the economy and what's actually happening in the economy matters in an election year. Today, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams brings us another story on this theme, looking at the money and effort going into shaping those economic beliefs to try to influence election day reality. Here's Kimberly.
When you tally up the spending on TV, social media, radio, billboards, gas pumps, just about everywhere, political campaigns and advocacy groups are expected to spend anywhere from $10 to $17 billion on ads this election cycle. And you can expect lots of them to be about the economy.
My economic plan is about investing in places and people that have been forgotten.
But how to talk about the economy in a campaign ad depends on whether you are an incumbent or not and how the economy is doing at the moment. Mark Hetherington is a political science professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And that's where the campaign matters. You know, can you, as a campaign, affect the perceptions that people have of conditions, especially if those conditions are not on your side?
One strategy can be to adjust the timeline you're talking about. Heath Garrett is with Strategic Partners and Media, a Republican-leaning firm. He says even if the macroeconomic data, GDP, inflation, and jobs numbers are improving, if you're an average American comparing this economy to, say, the pre-COVID economy,
then no matter what the academic economic numbers are telling you, you're not feeling better because it's an emotive experience when you go to the grocery store and all of a sudden you feel like your bill is up by 50%. It just has a feeling about it.
And those feelings resonate with voters. If you're a candidate running against an incumbent, that's what you latch on to.
But Joe Biden's America. Wages down, prices soaring, families struggling. Only Trump's ready to get our economy, our country back on track.
But say you are an incumbent trying to get a little love for good economic news.
Over 12 million jobs have been created, and Joe Biden's building an economy that leaves no city, no town, no American behind.
You can't just sit on a soapbox and scream out the accomplishments you've had in the 2, 4, or 6 years of your term.
Tess McRae is with the consulting firm The Parkside Group, which works with local and national campaigns.
You need to be able to hold space for the real feelings of frustration, feelings of cynicism, and acknowledge that you're going to continue to do that work. And lifting up specific examples of what that work in the future is going to look like is very key.
McRae says coaching candidates on how to talk about the economy is often one of the earliest conversations her team has with campaigns. She expects to see candidates this cycle, especially incumbents, focus less on the big picture economy and instead focus on
what were we paying at the pump a year and a half ago? What are we paying now? What legislative initiatives have you prioritized as a candidate that are going to hopefully reduce those costs that voters are feeling?
Now, the Biden administration lowered the cost of prescription drugs and passed laws to make healthcare more affordable.
And, says Heath Garrett of Strategic Partners and Media, the key is to keep the message focused on local and individual issues, especially in down-ballot races.
That's why Monica secured record funding for our schools and passed a permanent property tax cap. And
it's why. But the best strategy, says Garrett, is to
have real voters tell the story for you, the candidate, from their perspective, rather than it always be about you, the candidate.
Because what voters believe about the economy, says Garrett, depends not only on what they're experiencing themselves, but also what others are experiencing as well. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.